Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boats, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They will do everything they can to save you money and make sure you're fully insured. They're the best in the business. Great people who are the best when it comes to insurance. Well, at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Aaron Judge hits his 67. No. Oh. No.
Nah, still waiting.
Waiting? All kidding aside, I've stopped watching every at-bat. It's just like, he's hit one in 2 weeks. You realize that?
Yeah, not ideal.
Not ideal. Not only that, his batting average has dropped 7 points.
Yeah.
Triple crown? I mean, it's all falling apart now. I mean, what's the next thing he's going to have? He's going to go to the Mets? Oh, sorry.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I hope he does it, for goodness sakes. Just do it. Come on, let's go. Move it. Man, I'm not going to watch every at-bat. I'm done. You, of course, will hang on every single one. Meanwhile, we'll be watching a good game over here between the Rams and the 49ers.
No, see, I got my system. I'll have one on one console and one on another on my phone, so it's all good.
You have two little kids. Why don't you give them a bath and give your wife a break?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll take care of that, too. It's all right.
Yeah, no. You act like it's just like, yeah. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
What a huge day for the Vikings special teams. Could seal it in a big way.
47-yard try for Greg Joseph. Good snap. Good hold. The kick by Joseph. It is good. And the Vikings take the lead with 24 seconds to play. Good snap. Good hold. Let's his kick on the way. Oh. And it is off the upright.
Double doink.
And it is over in London. Let's pinballed it around and it fell out. 28-25. The Vikings hang on by the width of the crossbar.
Well, I think it's Kevin Kugler, I think. And you know how highly I think of Kevin. He's just one of the greatest guys going. Great announcer, too. Somebody else does great work, besides you, Matt, of course. Let me make sure. You know, Matt, I don't want Matt you to feel slighted.
Oh, thank you. I always appreciate it.
Despite the fact that you're, like, dripping with Aaron Judge and Jalen Hurts. I mean, come on. I mean, you're about as objective as... No, I'm just kidding. Frank Bodanti, York Daily Record. Frank, how you been, my friend?
Good. Good afternoon, Steve. Hope you enjoyed your Saturday afternoon in Beaver State.
Well, the fans were unbelievable because I know that I only had to spend an hour outside doing the pregame show with it. And to be honest with you, then after that, we were safely inside. So the fans were great. And the drop count was huge.
What I loved was I went outside just before the game, maybe 15 minutes, walked through the student section. There was already, I think, about 2.5 feet of water building up. You're walking through thinking, but nobody cared.
So, no, the fans were great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, just great. And, you know, because we were out there, we were doing the pregame, and I mean, it started coming in sideways. When Jack and I went out to the field, we wanted to talk to J1 Sider for a bit. It wasn't raining at that point. but then everything changed. Whether it, and Jack and I did not say whether it was a reason for turnovers, because they practice in this stuff, and James didn't either. How important is that message, like, hey, no excuses, you got to take care of the ball?
Yeah, and you know what it, it, to me it is you have true freshmen that everything like this is the first time at this level, at least for them. You know? And I think you do it in practice, but you don't do it in a game. And I don't know, Nick Singleton in particular looked like he was trying to run. I don't know, he just looked like he was trying to run even harder than what he had done previously. And, you know, I don't know if it's rookie mistakes, but they got to learn, you know. Guess everybody has to learn, and you combine the learning with the weather with the really good hit, you know, helmet on the ball. And that's a learning thing. James even talked about that. You know, that's not an excuse really either. But I'm thinking these guys are, you know, they're going to get it. And I guess if this happens, it's best that it happens all at once like this. You know?
And it happens in a game you win.
I mean, right. That's When's the last time you covered a game where Penn State had five turnovers and won? Has that happened?
I can't think of one, Frank. And it's also a day, look, they're running the ball for the most part effectively, because Jack Ham and I were talking in, I think we said, talked about this in the break. If Penn State had the ball 37 minutes, if they hadn't turned it over, they would have had it 45. I mean, that's what's amazing about it. And let's be honest, it's a day where, I mean, Sean Clifford did not have a great day. I mean, so he had to run the ball, but because Sean did not have a great day.
Yes, and I think it's just the way what you're describing is why maybe it looks frustrating for fans, you know, is that you are so close to, you know, you don't turn the ball over just one or two of those times, and then you probably score on those series, and then it's the game, the feel of the game's different. You have three turnovers, not great, but the game is probably a good bit different, just the feel of it. So that's what I think they have to overcome the last 2 weeks going into this week off, is that things just don't feel the way I think they should, you know?
Yeah, and that's something that obviously you got to go through, because now any mistake you make becomes more magnified for obvious reasons. What struck me before I get to the defense, this is the type of day, though, weather-wise, where the kicking game can get out of whack. And yet every snap was good, every kick was good. I mean, that impressed me, was the special teams part on a day like this where weather, wind, and so forth plays a big deal. And they got through that with no problem.
That was one of the best parts of the day. I mean, I'm going through like your, you know, everybody does a report card or something. I'm like, wow, they really handled it. That might have been their best overall special teams effort of the season so far, when you combine everything, because Jake did a nice job, didn't have a lot of opportunities, but I mean, you hit a 38-yard field goal in the rain, that's saying something. And I mean, Barney is just a revelation. I've never seen anybody at Penn State punt like him. Not, you know, distance and leg and all that, but I mean, to be able to hit the ball consistently, have it die inside the 10-yard line, remarkable.
Well, that's why I felt like, you know, James, for example, went for it on fourth down early against Auburn on a really nice day. Then Saturday, he decided to punt, and the ball went to the 8-yard line. And I felt like because of what Barney's done and because of the conditions, James decided to play chess. That's why I thought, like, that move was a good move because of what Barney's done.
It is a good move, and Barney goes, you know, he's connected to me to the defense. They go hand in hand, so he sets the defense up. And right now, not just where they're at now, but I think where they can go, I really like the possibilities on that side of the ball for Penn State. You know, their defense and their punting to help the defense, I think they have room to grow there, and I think that's really positive in the bye week. The other side of the ball, I think there's just more questions that they I don't have the answers, maybe, per se, but there's just more questions on the other side. I think defensively, I like where they're headed. And the reason I'll say one thing, the reason why I say that is because I think there's more to get from a few of their big-time players, and that's T.J. Mustipher, who's coming
yes.
back from injury. We haven't seen his best yet. Hakeem Beamon, who didn't play last year, I think
yep.
he's getting better. And Adisa Isaac, and those are three guys who I think there's no reason why they should not improve if they stay healthy just because of getting the rust off, getting back from injury. You know,
that's the amazing part about the five takeaways by Northwestern. They get it. But after the five takeaways, Northwestern had a total of 8 yards. What kind of statement is that by defense? And obviously Penn State took the ball back three times too, but what kind of statement is that?
Well, it's huge for them because it's going to happen again, and it's going to happen in their biggest games of the season where you really have to react if you're going to stay in the game. You know, you can't get down, you can't let it up, and the defense did a great job of that, and that's huge going forward. I mean, you have three of your biggest games, boom, 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 and this is something you have to have. And the depth on defense is getting better. You know, linebacker to me is kind of the one interesting spot.
Yes.
Your best prospect are mm-hmm. maybe on the whole side of the ball, Abdul Carter, and just if they can kind of get a little more production, I would have thought that it would have a little more production out of that position so far, but there's still good possibilities. I mean, hopefully we still haven't seen the best of Curtis Jacobs yet as a playmaker.
Right. Being a complete player, I feel like we've seen the movement of Brenton Strange toward becoming a more complete player, not only catching the ball but blocking. On the defensive side, Jair Brown's the one that I look at and I feel like I'm seeing with each time out a more complete player. Is that what you're seeing as well, Frank, or would it be something else?
No, I mean, he did. You saw everything he did last year, and now they're just using him more they're squeezing everything out of that guy's ability, and that's maybe what you love about Manny Diaz and his approach. He's going to say, what's the best that I have on the team? I'm going to use it, and I'm going to use it all, and it doesn't matter if it's six defensive backs. There's my best guys. And he sees something in Jair that maybe not everybody would use as a traditional safety, and it's paying off. And it's a great look for them to be able to have a guy like him. They can move all over the field, and not just move all over the field, but he's doing stuff all over the field. You know, I mean, he's making plays at spots I guess I didn't really think. But they got other guys that can kind of do what he did last year. You know,
yes.
They got other guys in the secondary that can ball hawk in the back. So, hey, Cade can play up front and make an impact. More power to him. Best move, you know, I mean, are people excited about what they're getting from their defensive side of the ball and their new coordinator?
Now, back to the previous part, because I mentioned Brenton Strange. That spot is a key spot in multiple ways on the team. What are you seeing in Brenton Strange? And when you've talked to others, what have they told you about how he has stepped up in that spot, not only as a pass catcher, but as a blocker?
Most improved player in the team to me. I didn't know if he would ever become this type of all-round talent because he's not a new guy, you know? I mean, but to me, the difference between his blocking is marked from last year. Big change. But also his consistency catching the ball. I mean, that was something that was a struggle last year, mm-hmm. I thought. And he's turned it on. And the thing is, they got two other guys there. I mean, maybe Theo needs a little bit more time to come back from whatever was slowing him down. And then Tyler Warren the same. Maybe this bye week might be really good for both of them. The combination of being able to use two and three of those guys together. I mean, Brenton's carrying it right now, but that's their strongest position. The only thing is, you got to use them more. I mean, to me, he would have been the perfect guy to throw the ball to 6-7 times in the rain last week. And maybe they're, I don't know, maybe they're holding some stuff back on us that I don't know about, right, Steve?
Yeah, it was interesting. I'll say this, when it comes to the conditions, I think where you can see evidence that the conditions in terms of how the game was coached would be evident on first down. Penn State came into the game about 54 to 46% run to pass on first down for the season. Again, 54 to 46%. Saturday, they had 35 first down plays. 29 were runs, Frank. Only 6 were passes. In fact, Penn State was 4 of 6 passing on first down. I think that's the one part where I look at where, okay, where the conditions influenced how they wanted to play if you're going to use a stat.
Yeah, and I like the play calling and the general kind of gist of what they were doing. But when to me, it's just when they started to seem like they really kind of struggled and on offense a little bit, kind of like sputtered. And Northwestern, you know, picked it up in the third quarter. And that's when I kind of thought, you know, to me, it's and maybe Cliff's struggling a little bit too on his own. You got a couple 6'4" guys. To me, they might. I would think they would be the easier guys to get the ball to because they'd be easier to see. But and I think people forget how talented Theo Johnson is. He may not be 100% yet, but to me, he's the most. He has the most maybe talent on that team on in that position. But yeah, Brenton Strange. I have to admit, I did not see maybe coming what he's done, and all the credit to him so far.
How do you think a team needs to use its bye week? We all know what's next, and Michigan will play at Indiana Saturday at noon. How do they need to use the bye week, in your opinion, Frank?
It might be a little different every year, depending on what position you're in. I think this team needs, I mean, to me, from the outside look at the last two games, I may need a little bit of a reset to get that kind of out of there, you know. And get guys, I mean, to me, it's a time to get guys who are not quite able to, you know, get them healthy a little bit. Schedule your work around that. Certain guys that are maybe 80% that can really benefit from this, maybe some of the guys we've even mentioned already so far, that's got to help them. So how do you do that? And then I think it's just planning. You know, you got your good-on-good work that you have to do because you have time for, and the rest, the combination of that too, and then, you know, so it's advantageous. You have you could say arguably your biggest game of the year coming up after the bye. So I'd be drilling down a little more on Michigan than I you know, because you get that opportunity, right? I mean, this is a huge game. I mean, you go into Minnesota, win or lose, okay, it's the whiteout. It's gonna, to me, it feels a lot different. You go in there undefeated, and you have a chance to win this game with an extra week. And look, I go back. Look at what go back to what 2017. I think they had a bye before they played Michigan at home, the whiteout. And you saw a team that came out of that game out of the gate that looked like they were rested and ready to roll. You know? So.
Frank, always a pleasure. Always great perspective. You know how much I enjoyed talking with you and spending time with you.
Hey, thank you. Hey, enjoy a little bit of time off, I hope.
Got a little bit here. A little bit. So okay. I will put my feet up a little bit.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Frank. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Yeah, I do have one thing this weekend, and that is they're doing the groundbreaking for the new field hockey complex. So I was asked to MC that Sunday, so I'll do that. But other than that, yeah, I'll take it easy. You know? At that point, there'll be no Aaron Judge watch. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no. We'll be done by then. We'll begin gearing up for the playoffs.
I mean, how hard is it to hit a home run? Oh, wait, it is really hard. I forgot. It actually is really hard to do.
Oh, my almighty!
It's really... It was so easy to hit 62. There'd be a long list of people that hit 62. Niners and Rams tonight. Aaron Donald, Boy, I'll tell you, this, I give Aaron Donald a lot of credit in that he has defensive end skills, right? And a defensive tackle's body. That's pretty impressive. And he is, I feel like he is the best defensive player, the best front seven defensive player I've seen since Lawrence Taylor. I think he's the best front seven defensive player I've seen since Lawrence Taylor. Because now he's just doing it year after year after year. He's really good. They'll play tonight against the Niners. So, you know, while we're watching that, Matt will be watching Aaron Judge punt. I worry about you.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
You know what? It's got to be weighing on him now. Right? It's got to be. And you're like, you feel it. You're like, you're right to the doorstep. You just, you know. But, you know. Batting averages falling apart. No triple crown falling apart. Right? Man, little Luke has now forgotten how to say all rise. That's bad.
Rice.
Yeah, but you had to record that. He forgot how to do it. It's been so long. He's like, what do we do, Daddy?
We've also been perfecting our Eagles chant, too, with the 4-0 start.
It's funny because in class today, couples, we have a lot of Eagles fans in class. And they listen to the show, by the way. They said, we hear you kid around with Matt. I said, yeah, I just kind of take the knife and, like, turn it just a little quarter for pain. Right? You know, just to have some fun. And, I said, but I am serious about the schedule. And they said, the Eagles fans of classes, so we decided to look at the schedule because you said something on the show? Oh, my God, you're right. We couldn't believe how bad it was. I said, I know. I said, you luck into certain things. And they've kind of lucked into a schedule of, like, yay, that's pretty good. Hey, you can only play what they put in front of you. And the Eagles have been, they're one of the top three teams in the NFL right now, I think. And you get more confidence with each win. And now with more confidence, you become a lot tougher to beat. It's amazing. Good for them. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Dave Cecchini in the next half hour and more Matt Catrillo pain. Because even when it's going well, he feels pain. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto Home Life Business. And not only that, whether it be motorcycle, RV, boat, suit, yacht, Although I get a little concerned about, like the suit likes to put his yacht out in the Susquehanna. I keep telling him it's not deep enough. It scares the devil out of me, doesn't it?
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells Fowlda.
Oh, and he is Fowlda. All right, so. Sunbury and all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Joined by the head football coach at Bucknell, Dave Cicchini. Dave, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
So, you outgain Lafayette. You outpass him. All right. And this is a good, tough, hard-fought football game between the two. What did you take out of that, and what was the message to your team?
Well, gosh, I mean, it was a couple of plays decided the football game. You know, the weather was rainy, you know, the remnants of the hurricane, and we just didn't take care of the football. You know, it was a little sloppy for both teams at times, but the mistakes that we made were much greater than theirs. You know, for us, we had five trips inside Lafayette's red zone, and we only scored two touchdowns and five trips. Had a field goal block, missed an extra point, threw an interception into the end zone. You know, we had an interception returned 80 yards for a touchdown, and any of those things are just different. You know, we're talking a different football game. So while we made a boatload of plays and did a great job, turned the football over with the special teams unit, had a great defensive second half in particular, and really had our best day moving the football from an execution standpoint. You know, when it comes to these critical plays and just not taking care of the football, just not finishing drives, you know, it's hard to win a football game. You know, you can look at all the great statistics at the end, but it's the final score that makes the difference.
So, Dave, on a day, and look, the weather's not great, the wind is an issue, and your kicking game is not at the level you hoped it would be, but the conditions play a part. What does that, for you, do to your decision-making as a coach when that starts to happen?
It does, and it particularly comes down to some critical moments in the red zone. You know, when you're looking at a fourth down and one or a fourth down and two, where, you know, if the weather is really good and you've got faith in your kicker, it's, hey, this is a no-brainer. We're going to take the chip shot field goal and put 3 points on the board. In cases, you know, where the ball is wet and slick and you've got wind and it's swirling, and, you know, in the particular case of Saturday, you know, it was kind of, it was coming and going. It was just light rain, and then all of a sudden, without warning, it would pour, and then it would slow back down, and you have no idea from the moment you say, hey, kick the field goal, and your field goal unit goes out on the field and then gets set up, you know, and roughly 25 seconds or so after you make that call, the ball is kicked, you know, the conditions can change. So it definitely is in your thoughts, you know, and eventually, you know, towards in the fourth quarter, you know, it was one of the reasons why we went for two and to make it a 10-point game, and fortunately we were successful there.
All right, so Dave, how badly, you know, winning does a lot of things for you. How badly do these kids need to have some success right now to validate some of the hard work they're putting in?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you really feel for them because we have improved week to week. There's no doubt on it. You can look at that. Our players can see that on the separate plays. It just hasn't manifested itself in the form of a victory, and that gets really frustrating for players and coaches alike. You just really, you know, I think the one thing that I did at the beginning of this week was, you know, talking about our upcoming opponent here Sunday in our team meeting, I put up Holy Cross. You know, they are three-time Patriot League champions, and I went back and I said, well, let's look at what started this. Let's go back to the season before they became champions, before they had a big run, and we took a look, and there was Holy Cross sitting at 1-6, 7 games into the season. And then the switch is flipped, and they go out and they win their last four contests in the season, and really from that point have turned things around, and you know, they're kind of the benchmark right now in the Patriot League. Everybody's chasing them, everybody's trying to knock them off the pedestal. And I'm just telling our guys, hey, this can be us right now, sitting at 0-4. We have that ability if we can just stick with it and keep plugging away. Holy Cross is able to do it with a 1-6 start We can do this if we just keep finding ways that, you know, to execute in those critical situations, keep working hard, stay healthy. You know, the wins eventually are going to be there.
Is this a case where you feel like you're just missing a play each half, that it's down to that point now where it's a play each half? It's not a bundle of plays, but getting a play each half to swing your way.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, starting with the first play of the game, we catch the ball on the 4-yard line, and our kickoff return unit returns at 96 yards for a touchdown, only to find out that we had a holding call back on the 10-yard line. And that, you know, so any there, you can look at 20 plays from the game and just say, hey, had we not dropped that ball, had we converted that fourth and one, had we stopped Lafayette on their fourth down attempt, and all of those things, just how quickly the game would have, changed and altered the course of the football game and ultimately led to a victory. And yeah, that's one of the reasons that makes this sport so great. You never know when those moments are coming. You never know. So you got to be ready at any time. And in the case of on Saturday against Lafayette, it was the opening kickoff, the very first play of the game. That was one of the reasons that, had we not been called for holding, it could have been a very different story.
How have you felt about the development of Rashawn Baker?
Oh, love him. Love him. You know, he is a very extremely talented running back. He has that unique combination of he runs with power. He runs through tackles, but he also has deceptive speed around the edges. He's not quite as fast as top end speed, not quite where Coleman Bennett's speed is, who also is having a great year for us. But having both of those guys in the backfield, I think when opposing defensive coordinators put on our film, I think the first two guys that they're concerned about when they watch the film is Rashawn Baker and Coleman Bennett.
I think it's safe to say, based on your previous answer, Holy Cross is about as veteran gets. Lafayette's an up-and-coming team, but there are a lot of fifth- and sixth-year guys on Holy Cross. When you face that kind of experience, how much more precise do you need to be?
You definitely have to up your game. When you look traditionally at the history of the Patriot League, 9 times out of 10, the team that is the most veteran group of seniors who are returning starters are the ones that are most successful. You know, the most successful season that we had when I became head coach at Bucknell was the year that we had the most veterans in our senior class, and we went all the way to the championship game in the spring of 2021. So it really pays off, and right now, Holy Cross is they are clearly at the front of the pack. Fordham is a close second, particularly on offense, and their offense leads the country right now because of it. But if you look at the entire team, offense, defense, and special teams, Holy Cross by far and away has the most, not just seniors who play, but fifth-year seniors who have returned because of their COVID year of eligibility. So it's tough to go up against that level where you're playing against 23, in some cases 24-year-olds who had started 3 or 4 seasons of football. That's a challenge.
What kind of force has Tyler Alston become for you?
I tell you what, he is playing with more and more confidence with each passing week. He continues to be one of the prime reasons why we make disruptive plays, doing a great job in terms of rushing the passer, in terms of tackles for losses. We occasionally drop him back. He's kind of really that embodiment, and you look at the NFL and they talk, about the speed of an outside linebacker slash defensive end, or rush, some people call them, but these edge defenders that you see that are really becoming more and more popular in NFL defenses. He's kind of our guy in that mode, and he's done a great job of just disrupting plays, both from a pass rush standpoint, really, and a run game standpoint.
Wish you nothing, best of luck on Saturday. We go up to Worcester. It'll be a 4:00 kickoff. Dave, thanks a lot for your time today. Enjoyed it.
Sure. No problem, Steve. You take care.
Dave Cicchini, head football coach at Bucknell. We'll come back and razz Matt. No. You're starting to get emotional on the show, you know.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
You know you are. Your guy's not hitting home runs. Batting average is dropping like a rock. Right? At some point, you're actually going to have to face a legitimate NFL team. So, like, right now, it's like a lot of false bravado. Even you're scared.
Doesn't help.
I'm just kidding, dude. I'm just kidding. Your football team, it's kind of like all smoke and mirrors, you know. We'll come back. Tomorrow, Mike Gesicki on the show. He'll join us. And we're not going to get into, just so people know, okay, I'm not going to ask another player about the Tua situation in terms of how it was handled. I will ask him about how scary it was when he got hurt, but you don't ask the players about how the league is handling it or how the team's handling it. You don't do that. So I'm not going to bring that part of it up. But Mike will be on the show tomorrow. Neil Coulong tomorrow. Glenn Macnow and the Eagles tomorrow. Actually, we're going to like analyze Glenn Frey and the group. We're not going to talk about Jalen Hurts. You know? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Hurts from the shotgun on 2nd and 6. Sanders in! Touchdown! Sanders breaking free outside the 40, inside Jacksonville territory. What a sprint by Sanders.
You, sir, are my hero.
I thought the object of the show was to attract listeners. Miles Sanders and Saquon Barkley both had big days yesterday. They both played really well. And both, you know, ended up on the winning side. And Miles, I think, really benefits from, look, Hurts is so good at running that read option. Boy, does that help Miles. Wow. Played great yesterday. And then Saquon really played well again yesterday, and the Giants beat the Bears.
He's been it. And Saquon now 1 in the NFL in rushing, Miles Sanders 3.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb in between the two of them.
Yep. And yesterday Saquon had to play quarterback. I mean, they had to run Wildcat for a period of time yesterday because Daniel Jones hurt his ankle, and then Tyrod Taylor, I think it was protocol, was taken to the locker room, so they didn't have anybody else. Paul Christ out at Wisconsin. I was really surprised by that. Jim Leonard takes over as the interim. Many have been saying that Jim Leonard is head coaching material. He's going to get an opportunity now with Wisconsin to show that he is, at least with this group, and we'll find out. But I admit, you know, like Herm Edwards out at Arizona State, Carl Durrell out at Colorado, Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech. Okay, like a lot of the stuff that we've seen to this point have not been surprises. But I was surprised at Paul Christ. I was like, really? Wow. I'm not sure what they're looking for or why, and I'm not going to pretend other than talking with Matt LaPay, which I have not. I've not talked with Matt about this yet. Other than talking with Matt LePay, I don't really have a total insight into, you know, what the thought process is as to what they really want at Wisconsin. Paul seemed like a great fit in terms of demeanor, style of play, ability to win games in a certain way. It seemed like he fit really well. Now, do they want, for example, Lance Leipold to come in? I mean, let's face it, Leipold won all those national championships at Wisconsin-Whitewater. But I was surprised by this one. Like, really? Paul Chryst? And the buyout is $16 million. It's a big number. You know what I found interesting about that, Matt? Is the buyout numbers, which are big. And I realize that the boosters kick in money to do that. That I understand. But I thought post-pandemic, we might not see as much of this because everybody was losing eight figures during the pandemic. And I thought, well, I got that wrong. I have been wrong about that. Jeez. Amazing.
I didn't quite get it either. I mean, you look at his numbers and what he's done. He's been really good. He's been really good there. He's had a tough start to this year, but I don't know. I don't know what they're doing at Wisconsin right now.
Yeah. I don't know.
67-26, 43-18 in the Big Ten, 3 Big West titles, 2 New Year's Six Bowls, 2-time Big Ten Coach of the Year.
And I don't know what they're... And, you know, you're thinking about other people you know. For example, Bobby Engram is now the offensive coordinator. So you think about Bobby being there, what's going to become of him. We'll see how Jim Leonard does. I was just taken aback by it. Felt like he was. It's interesting. It's like sometimes a game can send you into a direction. And I feel like the Penn State game a year ago, the opener, sent them in a direction that they have not been able to fully recover from. The opening game last year when Penn State won at 16-10. Now, Mertz is driving downfield. Mertz is the highest recruited quarterback they've ever had. And remember, he had that great start against Illinois to open the 2020 season on that Friday night. Then he got COVID, was out 3 weeks, and it seems like he's never been the same since. And last year they're playing Penn State. They're driving downfield, and yeah, it's tense. Yet my feeling in watching it is I just didn't have the sense he was going to be able to pull it off. And then Jaquan picked off that pass at the goal line and ran it back and then put the game away. But that's been part of it. The Allen kid's a really good running back, Braylon Allen. They got some really nice defensive players. You knew they didn't have enough in the passing game to go head-to-head with Ohio State. They got blown out on national TV. The game was 21-0, and I turned to another game because it was not competitive. I wonder if that had something to do with it. I don't know. It's just because everything I'm talking about is from 30,000 feet and don't have answers for other than the fact that I was surprised. I was surprised by it. Rams-Niners tonight, that should be a pretty good game. That should be a pretty good game. Monday Night Football. And Aaron Judge still in pursuit of 62. They're at Texas tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And one other quick note. Ollie Marmel, who managed the Steakhouse Spikes for 2 years, is now the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. What a class move yesterday to take out Adam Wainwright, Albert Pujols, and Yadier Molina all at the same time and have the three of them walk off the field at Busch Stadium together. Great moment.